perhaps I'll just take you back to how we started the service with the video talking about BMS World Mission, where it started with the highest goal, our greatest aim in BMS World Mission, and I think probably for most of our Baptist churches would agree with this, is to make Jesus Christ known. It's about sharing God's love wherever God places us. BMS World Mission work internationally, as we saw in the video clip as well, through education, through relief work, and through medical ministries. And John and I are attached to the church ministry. And we have been working in France for 31 years. I know, because I say it and I still don't believe it. It's like enormous, isn't it? 31 years. And interestingly enough, this very church here, historically, Oakham Baptist Church, has supported us for over 30 years. You are one of the very few churches that have been with us through our journey, our long journey. And we thank you for that, because we know that you pray. And as a Baptist church, you also give financially to BMS World Mission. And we thank you for that as well. So a lot of you don't know us at all. That's true. But for those that do know us, we just wanted to say we have four children. And our eldest was 31 yesterday. That's our Jessica. And she's teaching now. She's a teacher in Bristol. Then Rabina Kelly. Kelly, as she was known as a younger child, that's another story, is living in Kent, and it's her birthday today. She's 29, so between whatever we're doing, we're having to send off WhatsApp messages and leave vocal messages, you know, because it's a big day, 29. Then our son is in London, and he's now 26, and he works in London with a start-up company. And then our youngest, and many of you remember this one because she was actually born in the Paris area, Bonnie, is now 22 and she graduated this last week at Norwich University. So, hashtag proud parents. We were there trying to hold it all together, you know, just thinking, oh, this is the fourth and final child. And we've done it and we've got there. And it was a very special fun day. So I'm sorry for those of you who don't know us, that you haven't seen, we've always done home assignment with our whole family. So this church will know that they've seen our kids, you know, and now they are all adults. Wonderful, wonderful. We have brought with us, as you see on this table here, lots of literature and information. Of course, you can get a lot online now. This used to be a prayer card. I recognise now it's prayer paper, but there you go. That's about us, who we are, and what we are doing, actually. So you can take our prayer paper with you. And during the time we've been with BMS, the last few years, things have changed slightly. And we are supported by BMS World Mission, and your church, this church here, supports BMS World Mission. But we are encouraged to speak to people who are interested, particularly in France, or us as a couple, who would like to be more personally involved through prayer and finance. So come and see us, or come and see me afterwards, because there is a partnership scheme for that. And that, because I've seen my husband has already looked at his watch, and I've barely said anything, I will hurry along. This is the magazine, Engage, that you can take a copy, because BMS has sent us a huge box and we're never going to get through all that. So please, please take a copy if you don't already have it. There is a little little thing. Leaflet. That's a good one. Yeah. I was going to say fascicule, but that wouldn't work. Okay, there's a little leaflet here where you can receive your own copy. I'm sure the church receives it already. But in this particular copy, there is a letter, page 18, a letter from France. And it's a couple that we know quite well, Samuel and Valérie Duval. And I just thought I'd just read, you know, give you a little teaser that you think, oh, that's so interesting, I must rush and get that. But it gives some information about France. France is a mission field. This is the couple themselves, a French couple speaking, in the sense that so few people know the gospel. Around 30% of the French population describe themselves as being convinced atheists. And even though 65% of the population call themselves Catholic, only 4% regularly attend church. Protestants represent 2% of that population, including 600,000 evangelical Christians. There are 16 times more Baptist churches in the UK than in France. And Islam is the second largest religion in the country with 4 million believers. Now you're a little bit interested, aren't you? It's over there and you can get that. That's sort of our news update. I'd just like to say that perhaps you, those of you that follow us, know that we have been, had been previously, last time I think we visited here in Lyon. Yeah, that's where you probably, the story stops for you. And I noticed this quotation from Isaiah 43. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I think God weaves that into our life from time to time when changes are coming, sort of preparation thing. And I really like it because I relate to almost God saying to me, do you not perceive it? I'm not very good with change. My children tell me that a lot. And we made a big change 2 years ago, and we felt that God was speaking to us. We'd come to the end of what we were doing in Lyon. We'd been there for 17 years. And it's very difficult sometimes to move on, isn't it? Change is quite a difficult thing. We've been staying with Norma, there she is, and she changed her life a few years back after much longer than 17 years. Where she previously was. But it's difficult starting afresh sometimes, moving on, seeing God's direction in your life is changing. And I'm very slow at that. My husband's usually a little bit ahead of me on that one, on that learning curve. And we felt that God was speaking to us coming to the end of a season, a long season in Lyon, and our federation came to us and asked us to consider moving to Paris, and to working with a very historical, traditional Baptist church in the Paris area. A third of our federation churches are in the Paris area. But this is one of the oldest. There's two very old ones. End of the 19th century, our church dates back to. But I saw some interesting dates as we walked in. You've kept it there, back to the 19th century, and then the renewal of the buildings. You do spot these things, you see, interestingly enough. So we have very old buildings to look after. And yet the call was just to make Jesus known in Paris, work with the people in that church. And also, I think John will speak maybe a bit more, we have some national leadership positions, and it was much easier also to be in Paris for those. So we're kind of part-time with the church, part-time in our national leadership positions, but when you add it up, it doesn't come to a full-time job. It's like a bit more than a full-time job, but it's great, and it's very, very exciting, and we'd like to share some of that with you today.
Ooh. Great. Well, Sue will come back and fill in what I forget to say in the process, but it is always a pleasure. Is this working? That's fine. Yeah, to be with you. And I thought, rather than lots of words, perhaps just having some vignettes, a little idea of where we are and the situation that we're working in, the church we're working in. So here's just a few photo clips that I threw together of the last year. Well, they're just glimpses and impressions. Every picture means something special to us. But I wanted to talk just briefly about rumours of resurrection. I don't know if they've given Esther the time enough to switch to the slide, but we're going to read just three verses from Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. This will come in a minute, but Paris, where we live, and we were there just last Sunday. Sue was preaching last Sunday, and then we jumped in the car and crossed over. And so we're visiting churches for 4 weeks in the UK before we return in mid-August. But it is actually the most densely populated city in Europe. It is two-thirds more inhabitants per square kilometre or per square mile than London. And we live on one of the main thoroughfares, one of the main arteries into the city coming from the south. And so Sue and I are always happy to find a space for quiet reflection. And the closest place to us is the Montparnasse Cemetery. There we go. Whoops, we've gone too fast. We shall go one at a time. There we go. This is the place where on a sunny day you might find Sue and myself enjoying a cup of tea, reading a book, or just contemplating life. You could say the cemetery is more densely populated than the rest of Paris, but it's certainly much quieter. And it's a wonderful place just to contemplate, perhaps not having the uniformity of many British cemeteries. You can see art and sculpture and think about the lives of men and women who are buried there. A chessboard on the slab of one grave reminds you that it was a Russian chess champion, a world champion who's buried there. Or Jean-Paul Sartre and Simone de Beauvoir lie side by side in a grave covered with lipstick and metro tickets. Aviators, engineers, resistance fighters, political leaders are all buried there. And some tombs speak of faith, and others boast of success and achievements. But it's fascinating to wander around and contemplate through sculpture and art, the essence of life, loss, and love. We profess in our Protestant tradition the Apostles' Creed. We believe in the communion of saints, but we are often probably more prudish about it. But this passage in Hebrews 11 and 12 remind us how much we receive from those who have gone before. Just last month, we received the great-grandchild of the founder of our church, the lady in the middle, who is celebrating her 70th birthday. She lives in Germany now, and she came with her husband and brought all her family to come and discover the place where she had grown up and found faith, and she wanted on her 70th birthday to give testimony and thanks to God for all that she had received. Her great-grandfather, Philemon Vincent, was a thoughtful evangelist and apologist of the Christian faith right at the turn of the century. His father had been converted through the Swiss revival in 1830 and had planted churches in the very north of France. But Philemon came to Paris to study Hebrew and Greek and Latin, and worked particularly on a French translation of the Psalms. And around him gathered a congregation of working class folk who were keen to express their newfound faith that distinguished them from the institutional Catholic Church. And he and his brother were supported by this congregation, living on a minimum wage, but some of them giving up to 30% of their income in order to support the project that they were invested in. And it was the era of the building of this church. It's the era of the building of the Eiffel Tower. It's the time of bold new ideas shaping modern France. 6 years later, we would see the separation of church and state. And 5 years later, the founding of the Baptist Federation. This church has seen a wonderful history of things happening, being a flagship for much of the evangelical initiative in France, the hub of the newly founded Baptist Federation, producing publications for Billy Graham. It created a hostel for young girls. We have 22 young girls who live on site, and Sue chairs that group. During the Second World War, it also helped rescuing Jewish people from deportation. And if any of you are interested in reading the story that is documented in East West Street by Philip Sands, an expert on international law, you will find reference to the work of the church during the period of the war. So for well over a century, it's played a part in initiating church planting around Paris. For those of you who remember 20 years back when we were at Mont-Saint-sur-Orge, this was the church planted by the church organist from Avenue de Maine. And this couple on the left just been married 3 weeks ago, and he is going to take up the pastorate of the Church of Morson in September. So the faith and vision of previous generations has given us so much on which we can build. Their perseverance and sacrifice help us and inspire us in the race that is ours too. We are invited to be a generation passing on faith as a heritage to the next generation. We are not just those who look after gravestones. We are a testimony of faith to those who are to come. At our recent National Assembly, Sue challenged the delegates to invest in young people. They are the church of today. They are the leaders of tomorrow. And encouraging the leaders of tomorrow. And with Sue's national role in inspiring and working with the young people across our Baptist churches, they are seeing young leaders shadowing Baptist events and helping them find their place and calling to leadership. I chair the Ministry Commission for Baptist pastors, either in training or in changing churches. And we are seeing a new generation of young people. Perhaps 30% of our leaders today are under 35 years old. And we want to see that increase, because my generation will soon retire, and we are probably about 50%. So we need to see more young people stepping up. And we're encouraged to see both the faith and tenacity of those who've gone before and the challenge that is ours today. In the race that is set before us, we can sometimes get discouraged, find the weight of the past and the challenge of the present almost too much to carry. Hebrews 12, verse 1 talks about the weight of the sin that clings so closely. Sometimes we're just ordinary human beings, and it's all a lot of effort and work, and we're so inadequate and so incompetent, and somebody else can do it better than we can, and so we stand back. We have little time, little resources. But the harvest is great and the laborers are few. We need to pray. A month or so after arriving in Avenue de Maine, I was running around at midnight trying to find every possible bucket or bowl that I could find to catch water pouring through the roof, nearly 200 litres, 40 gallons. Why? Because nobody had thought to clear the gutters and drains over the last few years, and through a storm it all came flooding in. Lethargy, lack of resources, lack of vision, acceptance of the status quo can bring a church to a plodding stop. We came to church with flaking paint, brown stained doors, light bulbs that haven't been replaced, and darkly lit rooms. We invested over £2,000 just to get rubbish out of the attic and the cellar to create a youth space. Sometimes the glorious past doesn't always lead to a glorious future. And the sin of pride or the weight of responsibility in a changing world can bring a church like Avenue de Maine to a place where it says we need to change. And Sue and I were called to the pastoral ministry of this church in order to help them manage that change. And we have discovered a really warm, welcoming, prayerful group of people who are willing to step up when you encourage them. Always happy to stand behind us, but when we step out of the way, they will take on leadership. We see young people getting more involved, women willing to preach. We see community of welcoming people before the service, and a new Christian group of around 12 young people gathering each week throughout the year to study the basic texts of Scripture. The law of sin drags us down, but the law of the Spirit of life, when we fix our eyes on Jesus, brings us up. It brings us to that upward call of joy in Jesus Christ. And this passage says that Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. He is the one who opens the way. He shows us how to go forwards. In a secular context like France, where there are so many insurmountable problems of talking about faith in Jesus, he is the one that moves mountains. And somebody just asked me before the service, what happened when Notre Dame burnt? Did that encourage and inspire faith? Yes, it did. Amazingly so. And we never heard about faith as spoken in Christian testimony on the television in such a way as when that sad event occurred. Recently, I was sitting in our cemetery and I was intrigued to see police patrols circling through the grounds on their bikes several times. As you know from the Yellow Vest movement in France, it's a country of protest, even if it's not Protestant. And watching the police, I wondered whether they had heard rumors of resurrection. Well, they were making sure that there was going to be no religious breakout. But surprising things happen. More seriously, perhaps, anti-Semitism is on the rise. Vandalism of graves are often an expression of that. And we need to be praying that nationalism doesn't overcome our culture to the point where it strangles the gospel. But the gospel freedom of sharing and meeting people across cultures stays part of our faith and our goal. The pursuit of justice and mercy and compassion and truth and grace is a lifelong struggle. And we have to stay awake. We have to stay ready to run the race. But the kingdom of God is coming to earth, and Jesus is sitting down, says this text, fully enjoying that vision. You've already seen her, but here is Mamie Laurence. she celebrated this week 98 years. She comes to our church every Sunday. She takes two metros. She travels 50-minute journey or nearly an hour. She is full of joy. Every time you meet her, she greets you. How wonderful to see you. How are you? How are your children? When we came to the church, even though she had met none of our children, she learnt their names. She recently sent a congratulations card to our daughter graduating. The day before we left, a week yesterday, she came with two heavy laden bags, having cooked a meal for us before we left to encourage us as we go. She is a remarkable lady and such a force of love and life. Jesus ran the race for the joy that was ahead of him. Just like Mammy Lawrence. He did not let the suffering and the shame and the pain of the cross drag him down, but he let the joy of God transform his path through rumors of resurrection. When we think life is over, perhaps coming to an end, coming to a full stop, for God, it is a new chapter, a new beginning. And as we've seen, BMS World Mission wants to work along with many other agencies today in bringing hope to the hopeless, education to the uneducated, looking at issues of healthcare and justice, and planting churches and supporting evangelists, both nationals and expats. And there is joy in the world today, and we see it as we have worked in France, joy of people's lives being changed by the unexpected. This last year, we had a white middle-class couple come into our church. We were really happy to see them and to welcome them. A little surprised because they lived just in the road which is a very bourgeois address. But they seemed at home. They joined in the communal meals, which you see we have quite a lot. They came along to the Bible study. Little by little, because it takes time in French etiquette to get to know people, but we found out that they weren't actually married, but they were in second relationships, and they were he had some traditional Catholic background. She was interested in Eastern mysticism, and eventually soon I got invited to come around for a meal at their house. And as the conversation went on, we were surprised to find that they were both magistrates in the Paris courts. And there are surprising things that are happening. Four, and even last Sunday, four people I can think of in our church have come because they have simply bought a Bible. They know nothing about it, but they felt that they should know something about the Christian tradition. And they have looked online and said, can we come and read the Bible, discover what the Bible means? God does new things. Sometimes the old situations seem to coming to a full stop. But for God, it is a time of new beginnings. And that's what we're living at the moment in Paris, and for which we are thankful for your prayers as we go on. I'm going to ask Sue to come and join me because we just have some prayer requests and things that we can mention.
Yes, so as you can read, our prayer points, Eva, Caroline et Anna Gaëlle, and Marie-Judith, which is a new one, three ladies are preparing for baptism. And as you might know, having a baptism challenges people to where they stand on baptism. And the last person, Marie-Judith, is a lady in her 50s. and challenged by the testimony of others younger to her, and left her thinking, well, why haven't I taken this step to follow Jesus? And she's been in the church for a number of years, and just the testimony of a younger person at their baptism has encouraged her to ask for baptism. So we are preparing three ladies at the moment, young women, for baptism.
We'll ask you to pray for Jeremy. And Jeremy is a young lad, 25, and he's really taken to heart leading the young people's group of sort of 18 to 30-year-olds. He is thoroughly engaged in his faith, and he talked to me just 2 weeks ago about training for ministry. As I say, I have responsibility for helping people through ministry training, and particularly pray for Jeremy as he thinks about these issues and the cost and commitment that that will mean for him. And we thank God for the group that has grown around him of 12 to 14 young people who are meeting every week and encouraged by his ministry.
You see, it's Smart Connection 2019, Sue and Marshall. When I took on my national leadership position for youth and children's work, we didn't have any projects ongoing at that time, so we just took time to pray to see what God was saying. And through that, we got a vision to start an event, a weekend event for young people between 15 and 25 years old. And just a national event for Baptist young people, which is a bit radical sometimes, because we have other events where it's a bit of a melting pot. But we felt we wanted to, we felt led by God to put this event on. We started it in 2015 and repeated it in 2017. So you can see the pattern. It's every 2 years with just a small committee of volunteers. And Marjolaine has taken the project on this time round. And we grouped together 400 young people, which it might not sound much to you, but it's enormous. In our situation in France, it's enormous to get 400 young people. They come, some of them come in ones and twos from a church who've never been with 400 other young people. So it's obviously it's a fun-filled weekend, lots of sport, lots of music, concerts, and a very strong message. And what we've noticed and we didn't anticipate is the number of young people that come to faith on that event. And it's just incredible. Everybody assumes they're coming from a church, they're coming from a youth group, that they've already made a decision. And yet, no, God uses this event. So please pray for that. It's the end of October. Pray for young people, that their lives to be touched by God and changed. And, oh, there was a communication there,
I just say you could go on to the hospital manager.
Oh, yes. And John mentioned that we, our church historically has had a residence for young women, their students or people doing an internship in Paris area that don't have the...
Well, yeah. Means.
Don't have the means of which to pay Paris prices. Which can you can win a place through a competition. That's how France education system, won't explain that too much. You can win a position in a university or an internship and not be able to afford Paris prices. So the main reason for our foyer, which is called a residence, is to offer that to young women between 18 and 26. And as of next year, the manageress of that residence will be retiring. So it's a little bit of a prayer point for us at the moment that God would help us and lead us to the right person to take this post on for the future. And to make a real link between this residence and the church, and that there might be more crossover. So obviously we're looking for a strong Christian woman to come and do that. If there's anyone here, come see me afterwards.
The pastors, just to pray for pastors in training, Gorka was actually preaching in our church at Avenue de Maine this morning for Lula, who is a third year student and has another 2 years to go. Benjamin, he is a young lad with a family, and pray for him. Karim, who is of North African descent, who's just finished his studies and is doing a student placement in the north of France this year before being placed in a church, and Mathieu, who is studying at over a longer period to help finance his studies, doing his training at a distance. He's somebody from our Lyon church. So please pray for them, for the new leadership in our churches, and for the way that we can help grow that and encourage the next generation to take the lead. Thank you.